Podiumsdiskussion im Wintersemester 2013-2014. Women at Work. Career Management in Arabic and Islamic Countries. Mit Olfa Jelassi, Hala Khazaune und Fatiha Jabur. Moderation Professor Dr. Johanna Pink.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. My name is Yasmin Ateya. I work at the IFA, the Institute for Foreign Cultural Relations in Stuttgart. And I have the pleasure to welcome you all tonight to our panel discussion. I would like to give you a short overview on what IFA actually is and what the cross-culture program is, so that you understand why our panelists are here tonight. So IFA is an intermediary organization for the German foreign cultural policy. And it's funded by the Federal Foreign Office, the state of Baden-Württemberg, and the city of Stuttgart mainly. IFA mainly promotes art and cultural exchange in exhibitions, dialogue, and conference programs. And as a competence center for foreign cultural diplomacy, IFA also connects civil societies, cultural practices, art, media, and science. It is initiating, moderating, and documenting discussions on the international cultural relations. And at IFA, we have the so-called cross-culture internship program, where I and two of my colleagues who are in the audience are responsible for. And the cross-culture program supports young professionals from Germany and Arabic and Islamic countries with a scholarship for up to 3 months. The program exists since 2005, and we fund around 50 people per year from both countries. And scholarship holders can work as interns in Germany or a participating country, such as Tunisia, Egypt, Kazakhstan, Bangladesh, so really different diversity of countries. And through doing the cross-culture internship, the participants can gain an international work experience and, of course, strengthen their intercultural experience and expertise. So we initiated this panel discussion tonight because we wanted you to give you the opportunity to gain an insight into the general condition of working women in Algeria, Jordan, and Tunisia. And our three panelists, Olfa Jelassi, Hala Khazaune, and Fatiha Jabur, they are all participants of our cross-culture program. And all of them will talk about their experience as working women in their home countries. So I will introduce them briefly. They will do it on their own now, but just that you get an idea. Hala Khazaune is the Assistant General Director at the Jordan Chamber of Commerce in Amman. She did her cross-culture internship last year in Berlin and belongs to our alumni network. Fortunately, Hala agreed right away to come all the way from Amman to Freiburg yesterday. So thank you very much for that, Hala. Olfa Jelassi here on the left side, on my left side, is a project manager at the Tunisian Forum for Youth Empowerment in Tunis, and she's currently doing her cross-cultural internship in Bonn at the Fairtrade International Institution until the end of December. And Fatiha Jabour is a junior trainer at JuRexitech in Algeria and also voluntary works at the student organization IESEC. And Fatiha just arrived in Germany yesterday, and she will start her cross-culture internship next week in Berlin at the Econ University. So I think we have very interesting speakers here tonight. Before I come to an end, I would like to thank our cooperation partners here in Freiburg, the Landeszentrale für politische Bildung, the Orient Netzwerk, and the Studium Generale of the University of Freiburg, namely Professor Schnitzler and Mr. Raban Kluger, for their support and their help in initiating the panel discussion tonight. And I would especially like to thank Professor Johanna Pink, who will be our presenter tonight. Thank you very much for your time. And so I hope we will have an interesting evening, and you can take over. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be given the opportunity to chair this panel with three very strong and interesting women. We've already had an opportunity to discuss some of the issues they are going to talk about. At first, I would like to ask you each to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what kind of work you are doing, what your educational background is, and also, because that might be interesting, your family background, your parents' professional background. Fatiha, would you like to start?
Thank you, Professor. Good evening. I'm very glad to be here and to talk actually about the women condition at my country. So talking about myself, I'm Fatiha Jabbar. I'm 25 years old. I just graduated as a doctor. I'm just finished. And I do work at Jurex E-Tech, which is a training office as part-time job. Actually, I'm the eldest child of two wonderful persons who never get a chance to go to school. I think I'm grateful to them for all what I've achieved so far. And mainly what I do actually is I look for money, actually, in the afternoons, and in the morning I help sick people in the hospitals. It's quite strange, but this is how I'm trying to improve my life, because as a young woman in Algeria, I think I do have the duty to do whatever I can to improve things, whenever in the management or in the planification. So I'm working in training office in order to have a strong profile to be able to help improving the health system in my country. I wish we'll have a nice discussion tonight. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hala, would you like to continue?
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to thank IFA very much for giving me this opportunity to be among you and for the hospitality. I'm coming from Jordan. Jordan actually is a small country with poor resources, but we are focusing very much on the human resources. So this is what we have in Jordan. I have a master's degree in economics from the Jordan University long time ago. I'm now 41 years old. I'm working at the Chambers of Commerce all my career. I used to work in research department. Then I'm working as a public relation manager. And now I'm acting as an assistant director general in my work. My family is, I have, my father, he passed away, but he was a judge. And my mother, she was a history teacher. I have two brothers. All of them are outside Jordan. I'm living with my sister in Jordan alone. So hopefully we'll have a nice evening today. And thank you for listening for me.
Hey, Olfa.
Guten Abend for all. So I'm Jlassi Olfa. I'm from Tunisia, 27 years old, engineer since 2010, hydrometeorology, and currently master's student in hydraulics and environment. And in the same time, active in civil society in Tunisia after the revolution, especially in April 2011, concerning about a lot of issues like youth. I'm a youth researcher and women empowerment, also activist in European level with the Federation of European Young Greens as climate change working group coordinator. So I care about climate and environment, especially sustainability. I came from small village in the center of Tunisia, Kairouan. I'm proud and happy with my parents. My parent as director of a primary school. My mom is still a householder. She's dropped her study from primary school, but I'm feeling happy having them as parents because all the time they support me to have like such career right now. Yeah, and I miss them after 2 months. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to start with a general question, namely, what does working mean for you? Why is it important to work for you, or is it important to work? Would you rather not do it if you could get the money from something else, or is it, you know, is it an issue of money? Is it an issue of self-fulfillment? Is it an issue of independence? What does it mean for you to be a working woman in your country?
Okay, I would say that if I work, then I do exist. This is how I see work. Actually, I started working before finishing my studies in another field, which is different, which is quite different from my field. I mean, how could a doctor deal with trainings and business men and companies? That was quite strange, and everyone kept like asking me, why are you doing this? And they said, because I need to feel that I exist. And I think in every meeting, whenever I succeed to make a partnership or to organize a training or to coordinate an event, I just feel like I've done something. And I kept just counting this, and I think this is how I feel I'm rich, and this is how I feel I am breathing, actually. So it's more about being about life.
Hello?
Actually, yes, it's not the money-wise. It's to prove that you are there, and also to help the community, to help your social partners, to help your family even, and to help your kids in the future. So it's not only having money or getting money, it's the sense of being and helping others. This is the way I look to job or my career.
For me, actually, to be working is not a name itself, it's not a goal, but it's at least it's manner to improve myself as independent and also to help my people, my country, especially after revolution. So we need everyone in society, every effort. So it's not like a goal, but I have to do it just for the people and for humanity too. So all the time I think like this. But I mean, sometimes it's important to have a work with salary, because I didn't work actually yet, because when I'm working as administrative project manager with my association, it's like part-time job while I'm doing my master thesis. I did, but doing a lot of things voluntary, so sometimes it's not enough, so you have to work with salary to be independent. Yeah, that's...
Okay, so it's independence, it's but also fulfillment and helping others or helping your society. How do you feel about the educational systems in your countries? Is it easy for women to enter the systems, obtain degrees, acquire qualifications? How successful are women in these systems? How much are they represented?
For Algeria, actually, yes, women have access to education, but it still depends on the field and on the region, actually. We have quite a big country with the rural areas, and there's the south also, where women can't have access to education, or maybe the priority is to have a family. So it depends on the definition itself for women. I mean, if you ask a woman or a girl, 17 years old, in a rural area, what's your dream? She would say, having a husband and making him happy. And this is that simple, actually. But if you ask a girl in the city, in the quite big cities, they will say, no, my dream is to be successful in my life and independent. But actually, we have about 1.5 million women who are studying. And most of these, 40% have high degrees, actually. But only 10% of them are in the key positions, let's say. But actually, I'm quite optimistic about the issue, because whenever you go to universities, you see a lot of women everywhere. And there's that kind of joke that one day I was in City Hall, and there was that man complaining, "You women are everywhere." And I think this is quite a very positive change.
Actually, in Jordan, until the secondary education, it's mandatory for each girls and boys. This is good. But the problem is after finishing school, at the universities, for the rural areas, it's difficult, because not all of the parents can send their girls to have their education. But in general, Jordan is considered as one of the most good in the region with the illiterate rates. It's a very high rate, and they are well educated. In the cities, it's very high. Most of the girls, they are not only bachelor's degree, they are looking to finish their master's degree. So we considered lucky in the region because we are focusing on education a lot.
So actually, Tunisia, women is educated as well as men. So, and even sometimes the percentage of women at high level education as master or PhD program is more than men, about 60% of women. Because it's guaranteed by law. So since independence, so Tunisia pushed to have the same right for girls as boys to have access to education. So we have open and equal opportunity to go to schools. Despite this right to have the same right to education, but still there is imbalance between speciality. I mean, some speciality is focused only for women, especially, for example, if we are talking about arts or social or economy. For example, we in Tunisia, like more than 68% are women. But it's a little bit low in science, engineering science, for example. We are not the woman presence as like 30%, even I'm engineer. Yeah, but I mean, it's also related to social culture that we have, like, classify this kind of study for men and this kind for women. But right now in Tunisia, in our day, that women have access and already exist in many fields that was closer to women, as military or medicine or lawyer or engineering, and we find women everywhere, yeah, just like in Algeria. Yeah, but we need more, especially leading position, I mean, because they are well-educated but not well-represented in society and in public. I mean.
Yeah, that would be my next question. I mean, 30% women in engineering, it's still a lot more than we have in Germany. yeah, really. And this morning you told me that actually a lot of men drop out earlier because they feel the pressure to get a job instead of pursuing a master's degree and a PhD, because they have to kind of have an income in order to found a family, whereas women don't have that pressure, and so they more often continue to the higher degrees, which I found very interesting. But the question is, of course, we've got all these highly qualified women like you, for example. So what chances do these women have to get into leadership positions?
Well, yes, actually, I just mentioned that only 10% of the women who have educated women, of course, have access to key positions. It's still quite a problem, I think. We only have like three women in the ministries, and it's, of course, the Ministry of Culture, Family, and they, I mean, that's it. Like, woman is only for family and culture. It's quite how things happen. But that's how things are going. But I think things are changing quite, because if women are everywhere, then they should definitely have access to anything.
Actually, in Jordan, even if they are very high qualified or having good skills or high level of education, but it stops in an edge. You can't reach a senior level in any organization, in public or private sectors. You always face a problem that you are a woman and you have your kids to take care of, or even your family. There is many obstacles facing us in Jordan. And in political issues, by law, you can get anything. Otherwise, you can't get. I have some statistics regarding the parliament. In the parliament, we only have 15 women, which is in quota, and over 150 from all members of the parliament. And in the Senate, which is the upper house, there is only 9 women out of 75 members. This is shows that still we have a problem. And myself, actually, I have a problem in my work because they still having me as acting in my work because they said that I'm a woman and I can't go outside in night if they need anything or get late in my work or if I have a family, there will be a problem for me. They said like this.
So you wouldn't be able to become Secretary General?
No, actually.
Which is, yes. Which is your current aim?
Yes, yeah. Hopefully.
Okay, Olfa. Yeah, as they said, my colleague, it's what despite this progress in education system and women are everywhere, but still leadership that not considered well. For example, in Tunisia, we have only 16% of women leading in high-level position, whatever company or public establishment. I think because it's in culture and society, they consider all the time that boys, it's superior than girls, and men superior than women. And also, that, like, supposed to, leadership is a male character. So they didn't accept or they didn't recognize in their mind that women, or it's, I mean, leadership, it's only for both. It's a human character, not only a male character. So I think how to manage it, maybe the quota is a solution, but quota itself is, I mean, it's like a big deal in Tunisia. Some women didn't accept this. They consider it like kind of discrimination against them. But the other part consider is like maybe in favor just to have representativity of women more in the society. Yeah, I mean, it's still debating this. But also it's a question of society and we have to raise awareness about this issue in society and we have to education to have access for women leadership.
I found it very interesting to hear that in all your countries you seem to have debates about women quota, which, it's interesting because we've got the same kind of debate right now. So maybe, Olfa, you could expand a bit on that and the others could also give their opinions or say something about the debate in their countries.
Well, for the situation, I'm in favor of the quota because wherever we have this inequality in society, so we need that effort to push to have this equality. So when we have in the same level, so we start talking about competence. So whatever we have in this equity in society, we can't talk about competence because we haven't the same accessibility in the society. So to have this equality and justice in society, we have to proceed with quota. And then when we reach this equality, we can deal only with competence. I mean, I'm in favor sometimes with positive discrimination, but it's just in favor to have like justice in society.
Yeah, actually, even if it's something which is discriminated our rights, but I think it's the only solution for us nowadays. Because this is the only way that we can take our portion of this social and political life, so we can prove ourselves. It will be the first step to go through. If we can prove ourselves as a woman in this by quota, so the future will be us, hopefully.
Okay. So speaking about quota, I'm totally against. I think just another big lie to say to the woman that you exist. I don't know, I see it this way. But I don't believe in it. I think that we should work on the principles, like on the roots. Because what happened in Algeria is that everyone was like, okay, you want to be active, especially in the political life. You do have 30 places. And then they just, whenever there's a person that has a wife, okay, my wife, you can just go and, make it. And this is the way they're using this, and this is why I'm against this. I think if women should struggle to have this right, then I think it's a flight of honor. So it deserves to keep struggling to get to the leadership position, because women actually are leaders. I believe that every mom, every mother is a leader. So if a woman can be a mother, then she can be a leader.
So are there any other debates about how to improve the status of the career options of women in your countries, or any concrete steps your governments are taking or that are kind of subject of a political debate?
There is actually a lately very good initiative by the government is in business, and I believe this could be a very good solution, because women are getting are working on their own projects and having their own companies. And I've been working with the GGEZ, which is a German organization, and we've done a project with more than 54 young people who are working on their starting their businesses, entrepreneurs, and mostly the most successful projects were owned by women. And I think this initiative could change a little bit the situation if women could be independent and be successful as businesswomen, then things will get better, I think.
Actually, in Jordan, we have lots of debates and many institutions and committees which is responsible or focusing on how to increase the women in the workforce. Also to decrease the gap between the wages with men and women, because in most of the work, the women got less salaries than men, even if they reach senior levels. So they are focusing on this. Also on the political side, they are focusing how to force women or enhance them to go in the political life, to enhance them to take part in the parties, political parties. So they are working on this, and hopefully the future will be better.
Actually, Tunisia, I prefer all the time talking after the revolution. After the revolution in the election code, so the government took, I think, it very progressive steps to ensure quota and have a woman into a party list. And it was, like Rizili said, it was good. We have like 30% women representative at the new constitution. So also, the law ensures equality between men and women, and also equal access and equal opportunity. But that's not enough. The government have to ensure that law, enforce it into reality, and not just going between. So they try to establish a program with civil society, with a center of research and study about women, whatever partner in Tunisia or outside Tunisia. For example, there is a lot of project through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Germany, between the Ministry of Women in Tunisia, that try to empower women and try to open the door for women to have access for business, to establish their own business, because all right, that women present 30% of workforce in Tunisia, but they are not have their own business, so they didn't initiate their own company or entrepreneurial. So we need to empower them and to open for them a new horizon, to have their own business, and to skip this step that women steal all the time in the low jobs or in the whatever sector, and not in the other way. I think we need a lot of work. It's not enough what we did right now, and especially from civil society. I mean,
none of you are married or have children. Mm-hmm. So what if you did marry and had children? What would that change for you? And what does it change in general for women in your country and their ability to work, to have a career?
Speaking about this point, actually in Algeria, the social norms for successful women is having a family. Whatever you do, even if you're an expert, an excellent businesswoman, if you're a minister and you don't have a family, then you're not successful. And everyone would say, poor you. Because the main successful project for any woman should be having a family. But I've seen some changes, speaking about my family, my own family, my aunts who never went to school, and my mother. They always say, okay, focus on your studies, go ahead, make your own house, your own car, be independent, travel all over the world, and live your life. and do whatever we couldn't do. So, and I'm not the only one, hopefully. I have another friends also and people around, but still not that much, actually. But I think I do respect that, because having a family is also a great thing, I think. So, yeah, but the priorities are changing a little bit. Now, for many young women in Algeria, the priority number one is still finishing studies and having a career more than having a family.
Let me just ask, what if they have a family and still want to work? What ways make that possible? Does the state do anything to make it easier for women, or do husbands generally not like their wives to work? Or?
Actually, it's still a hard situation to have a family. I mean, the family obligations and to work, because it's still not admitted in Algeria to give the priority to your work. So whenever you have a family, you have to, I mean, as a woman, deal with your family needs and then work, I mean. So it's always this way. And most of the women who work, they do sacrifice a little bit their work. I mean, in some point they said, okay, I just need to be a teacher and I'll be fine, or I just need to stop in this and then take care of my family. But it's still not accepted. I mean, for the men, it's easier. Everyone would accept if a man go travel for a month because of his job and leave his family, but it's not accepted for a woman to travel for a month for work and leave her family. So things are not that fair in this point of view, but it's still possible, actually.
From my side, I think if I get married, maybe I will lose my job. Or even at least I will stop in my career. I will not get what I want. In the public sector, most of the ladies, they are looking to work in the public sector institutions because they have safe and security privileges more than in the private sector. From their point of view, you will get lots of time to spend with your family, to obligations. You have many social issues with the families. So they are looking, and also the private sector institutions, they consider it money-wise. They will lost many things from their money, because they will give the lady leaves for maternity also. They will pay more money about this. So this is a problem for the private sector institutions, but in the public it's more safe and security. So ladies, they are looking to be hired in a public organizations. So I don't think I will get married in this stage. Unless I will prove myself and get whatever I want from my work.
Yeah, actually, I demand that my future partner will have in his mind the conception of gender equality, because the biggest issue in our society that there is a gender imbalance, especially in family, because our society based especially in family. So while the man, when he came back from work, just stay and have some leisure. So woman, when he came back at work, so he take care of children, have to do the homework. So this inequality really, really hurt me. And then even I'm working in civil society to reduce this gap between injustice, between role imbalance into society, into family especially, and then into society. So this is why there is a little bit hard for women to have family and work in the same time. Not because there is a contradiction or women can't manage this, but because there is injustice into family and into society. And to ensure that women can go far with her career, we have to work to raise family awareness and especially manage the balance in role between partners. And this is my concern, actually. But Yeah, but even whatever your career, so all the time the society, the family push into to take this decision to get engaged, because, as I said, our society is based not on proper relation, but also, but especially in marriage. Yeah, but
you mentioned, I think, especially Fatiha, but also the others, that there are a lot of changes for women. Things are developing. So, what about men? Are they changing too?
I think they don't have a choice. Whether they accept the change or will make it anyway. Yeah, I think the mentality have changed a lot. I mean, the way my father behaved with me is totally different from the way my grandfather behaved with my mother, actually. But it's still weird because although I'm doing medical studies, my sister is not going to school, although she's younger than me, because she couldn't be that successful in her studies. So she was punished by not going to school. And it wasn't actually the decision of my father only, but of my whole family, actually. So it's kind of confusing. But whenever you succeed in your studies as a girl in Algeria, then you can have that free access to make your own life. So this is how things are changing. And that's why I believe that things will change, because a lot of women are succeeding in their studies and they're aware about their rights and they're working hard to be independent and to improve to the world, actually, that we all are involved, men and women, in making a better world.
I think they are changing, but because maybe they don't have any other choice, that's why they are changing. And also, you know, we must take into consideration that the more the people are educated, the more that they can you know, change their mind. And also, this is on the burden of us, you know, as a woman, because if the mother is educated enough, she will take care of her kids. She can change their minds from their childhood. And when they will get older, everything will change. So it's on our burden as a woman. If we changed and if we take care of our educated, if we open our mind to others, if we share experiences with others, so we will reflect this on our child.
Yeah, the question, the issue for me, it's like not a question of men or women, it's a question of partnership. So when we talk about women rights issue or gender equality, so we talk about both women and men. So we can't lead or have any progress if we still only women working in this field. So we need men, and we need high cultivated, not especially educated, but cultivated and conscious men that support this issue. And yeah, sometimes I feel so happy when I saw, for example, this time, a man concerned about women issue, and also in civil society when we are talking about women rights and women protection in society. So a lot of men that present and have effort and work for this. So that feeling you make you happy and also optimist about the future. And right now in Tunisia, the situation, well, there is a lot. It depends in the class, into society, or also depend in person themselves. For example, whatever, I'm from rural area, I'm from small village, but I'm so happy, I'm proud with my father because he's open-minded. In the same time, in the big city and in the very another place, they are closed-minded. I mean, it depends in person how they are cultivated and how they are open-minded. And we can't say that the situation changed or not, but we have to work all together.
Could you tell us a bit about your personal experience at work? Are you are you respected by your colleagues? Do you sometimes have problems that you feel have to do with your gender, or doesn't it really matter for your everyday life, both with female and with male colleagues and superiors?
Actually, in my part job at Jaxi Tech, I'm very respected because I only work with six women. So there's only the driver who's a guy. So I'm fully respected. But I would mention my experience at the hospital was quite different because I was dealing with sick people. I mean, having male patients, it wasn't always easy, but hopefully, actually the men, my colleagues, the male colleagues, were helping all the time. So I think in somehow things are improving, because most of the male patients who looks at me because I'm a girl, not as a good doctor, or they may like allow themselves to not be that respectful. Although I'm from a very rural, I'm very popular area actually. Whenever I said where I am from, they go, "Oh, okay, we're sorry." Yeah, because the area that my neighborhood is quite dangerous. So I said, "Okay, I'm from there." So he said, "Oh, okay, we're sorry." But yeah, I think so. But my colleagues, because they're doctors, and in the universities, mostly the males are very respectful. So I've never get problems because of I'm a woman. No, actually, it's quite good.
The issue for me is not respecting me as a lady. It's respecting my thoughts, my human being. This is the respectful I need from others. My colleagues, it's good for me because in our work, 45% of the worker, the employees are women. So we are respect each other. Yani. The problem with the board of directors... when I, as I told you in the morning, I'm acting as the secretary general in my work, and they want a full-time secretary general. So I applied for this position, and they said, no, we don't want a lady because we need to work at night and many work. I have some people who talk with the boss, and accordingly they hire a company, and they received about 43 candidates to this position. I got the 10th of those candidates, but they want to make an interview. Then they stop this because they feel maybe there is some priorities for them. And they make this for another stage. Now we have elections within the coming 10 days, though, so they stop hiring a secretary general. But I will go for this in the future.
Respected, yes, and were respected. Even I didn't apply for my part job. They selected me, and who selected me? They all of them men. Yeah, but I think it's a question of competence and question of a personality and how you improve yourself and how you prove that ensure other respect you. It's not the question to other, but you define how the other will deal with you. And I think I'm somehow succeed to make them all good partner and good colleague, and we did a good job all together. Maybe because also I'm the first woman working in this association, because we are established after the revolution. We are quite younger. But in general, in Tunisia, the law ensures the good working place for women. So there is a law forbidden violence, all kind of violence against women in work. So women at work in Tunisia are well protected, I mean, by law, not by person, but also... It's happened sometimes.
What role do dress codes play? Olfa, you told me this morning that a lot of things have changed with respect to the hijab that you chose to wear.
Actually, before the revolution, first of all, I wear hijab. It's my personal choice. And even when I start with this decision, I have like opposition into my family because I was the first to wear it. And even my other sister, they didn't wear right now hijab on whatever. But when I wear it also, it was forbidden in Tunisia. Even we are 99% of Muslim. But because if there is, it was like a political issue with Islamists and the government. So it's forbidden all kind of being Muslim into society. So, like, it was a law, a bad law, forbidden women with headscarf access to public jobs, even private jobs. So before the revolution, we never saw women working in private or public square. So even in the media, they are totally absent. And Actually, it's a little bit emotional talking about this because since just after the revolution, I feel myself like real citizenship in Tunisia. And I can say with all my heart that I'm Tunisian, whatever my religion or my color or my gender or whatever. So, and then I have access. That's why I'm just active in civil society after revolution. I'm not before. And this is a really big change into society among human rights and individual rights. And so I think right now in Tunisia we have equal chance for all women, whatever, with a headscarf or not, in the public square, in the private sector, in the media even. Before the revolution we never saw a TV presenter or reporter with headscarf, so now it's open for all. And this is one of the best achievements of the revolution since now. The national dialogue has somehow blocked now Tunisia. But I mean, regarding personal and individual rights, that's progress.
Regarding my situation, they said that I'm an uncivilized person because I'm wearing the hijab. They are looking for stylish and civilized lady for the work. This is the way I'm facing people in my work. So I'm trying to prove myself, to look at my mind, not to look to my way of wearing. And this is a personal issue, as Olfa mentioned. And our religion says that we should wear this, and we believe in this. So it's my choice, and they can. It's the only thing they have to judge on my work. This is what they have with me. So this is my problem. Mm-hmm.
For Algeria, actually, the hijab is not that very important issue, actually. So, but before, a woman with a scarf was pretty respected because for people, just very respectful to have the hijab, to wear hijab. The person who wears the hijab is more religious, so she's more respected, but it's not the case anymore. Like it doesn't matter whether we have the hijab or not, but it still depends on the region and on the field. And if in businesses, it's okay to be a little bit sexy if you're dealing with a man. I mean, this is just the human being nature, I think. But finally, people are trying to be more professional. So what matters is your work, actually.
Okay, if you were the president of your country, what would you do in order to improve the situation of women at work or in society?
I think it's not that nice. I don't. It's like a big dream, but being a president of Algeria is quite very dangerous. Yeah, even if a woman is very challenging. But if I would have a chance actually to be in a key position or in leadership position, I would focus on education mostly, because I do believe the way we can change things is through education. I do believe that the main problem of women in Algeria or everywhere else is about social definitions and more about culture than laws. I mean, the laws for the Algerian law is perfect. I mean, like, life is that easy, is that fair. But when it comes to minds, it's a little bit hard to change it. So it takes time, and actually it should start from the young people, really, from the childhood. So I would focus more on education, and I would let everyone know, whether a boy or a girl, that they have the right to live their life the way they want, and they are free to do whatever they want and to believe in themselves before anything.
Okay, and John, you do not actually have a president, you have a king, and I believe he's always male, so that's a problem. Still, just imagine you could be a queen.
No, please. I want to return back home. No, I can't. You know, our queen and king, they are very well educated, and they're very open-minded. They face a lot of problems with our society because they are believing in many things, and they face many problems and struggling from the road, opposite what they are thinking. If I'm at the second stage under the Queen, I'd like to focus on the youth and the women, because the woman is the future of all of our lives. We should focus on educating them. It's not only the academic education. We should let them go in the society to in order to be open-minded. It's not only having certificates and going to schools. The problem is with many things, changing traditions. We are having many traditions which is very old. We should focus on these things. So woman is the start. Of course, the youth generation, they are the future. So this is what I will focus on, the women and the youth.
Yeah, actually, it's one of my dreams being president. Not really president, but leader into society. Because I believe in people and people power, but also I believe being leadership and good leadership can lead to change what you want. So I'm working so that sometimes going to have this key position or to lead the change that I want into the society. So I will focus more into society and raise awareness, civic education, and start from the beginning, from with the child and then and so on. Yeah, so it's the society and the people is the key, I mean.
You all seem to agree that educating the youth is the basis for future development. So how would you assess the future perspectives of change in your country, especially now that even if Tunisia is the only of these three countries which actually had a revolution, but I think the events of the Arab Spring have been felt to a certain extent everywhere in the Arab world, and at least they've caused a certain fear in the leaders to maybe have similar things happening in their own country. So what do you think has changed? What do you think is going to change in the next years? What do you think the perspectives are like?
I believe that the situation will be more better and the change, it will be for the better, not the inverse. Especially for Tunisia, we are looking for very democratic country that respect individuals and the society and the people, that only human rights and the law, only really rules, not another things. So we're not wishing, but we live. It's so hard, but we will arrive, and with passion and with especially with faith that we will arrive, and we will have this haven country. It's somehow emotional talking about this because I'm living right now in this situation, and I can see how it's difficult for young people who dream about another life and another future, how it's difficult really to achieve this because there is a lot of problem and it's so difficult to face the formal system and to face corruption and to face inequality and to face all this stuff and socioeconomic imbalance and to just to establish the new country that ensure the right for all people. But I think with passion and work, and especially to get all the time to keep the inspiration and to inspire also in the same time people, we will arrive, for a better future.
The situation in Jordan nowadays is very difficult because of the situation in the area. We are sitting under a bomb because Syria is a very big problem for Jordan. We have many refugees in our country. So the most important thing in our country is the economic situation. People, they are looking to have better conditions. And Jordan doesn't have very much resources, so we are suffering from this a lot. I think we should focus on dialogue among all the parties in Jordan because the population in Jordan is a mixture. We have people from Jordanian origins, Palestinian origins, Syrian origins. So it's a mixture in our country. We should focus on dialogue and debate about what's the future for our country. and how we can work all together to get better conditions for the lives of the young generation. Because Jordan, maybe more than 50%, or maybe more than 50% of the population, they are young generation. So there is lots of problems for the future, and we can't find solutions except through debating for finding policies and put things regarding the economic issues.
Speaking about change, actually, I'm very optimistic when it comes to changes, but if I have to say something about changes in Algeria, I would say something very sad. That Algeria is a very big country, a very rich country, but still sad country, because there's a lot of injustice. We do have the feeling, whether women and men, that they're the first degree citizens and second degree citizens, and not everyone have access to good health and care, or to good education. I would say I'm not expecting changes in 50 years, maybe more. Yeah, I think that's why I said, as a solution, I do believe in education, because we need to start from the roots, and we need generations and generations to have a good change. And there's another reality about Algeria, is the civil war that happens from the 88, which is my year of birth, to 2000, actually, 99. So 10 years of bloody civil war, and that make everyone in Algeria right now scared. So everyone is saying, okay, just keep quiet and calm and let time go, and maybe things will happen. So actually, we still need a lot of time to have courage and change things. But definitely the changes will come.
Okay. To get back to your personal situation at the end, before we open the floor to questions from the audience, you are all affiliated with a cross-culture program. In what way do you think this has changed things for you with respect to your personal development or your career? Or, well, in your case, it might have changed things. In your case, you're right in the middle. And in your case, it's more like, what are you expecting from it? Because you're only going to start next week.
Okay. Actually, I'm expecting a lot. And I do have high expectations. And let's say something for you Germans. You're known as a very organized, very serious, and very successful. And when I said to people in Algeria that I'm going for an internship to Germany, they said, this is the perfect place to improve your skills. And they said, you fit in. So I'm here to learn to be organized, because I'm not. And to learn a lot about Germany, actually, because I do believe it's quite a very interesting country. And this is my second day, and I think I've learned a lot so far.
For me, I get the benefit at a personal level, because I discovered that there is many people around you, and everyone has his own character. So you should respect others and try to adequate with others as they are. Also, I respect time here in Germany, because they are very punctual in time. So it's a very good thing. Maybe in our society, it's not much like here. Also, it's good to share experiences with others and get out of the tight spots that we are in our society, maybe. So this is at a personal level. In my job, unfortunately, I didn't feel that I make anything positive for my work, because, as I mentioned in the morning, when I returned back to Jordan, I did a report regarding what I learned in Germany at all levels, social and even in my internship. And I distributed this report to the members of board of directors. We have 30 members of board of directors. Two of them only read my report and they comment on it. And the rest, they didn't even said that they received this report. So unfortunately, for this, I didn't achieve anything.
Yeah, I'm seen in the middle, but I achieve a lot right now. First of all, it's very important because this exchange and sharing, it's not only for my benefits, but also for German people, I think, at least my contact. I mean, because the perception of Muslim women into European society is still a little bit related to stereotypes about women, especially about women about with healthcare. So whatever I'm talking or in conference or whatever, holding speech, so people are a little bit surprised at what they thought, that all women with headscarf staying at home and just cooking and not very well educated and can help speech and can lead and can be president of association or a movement, whatever leads the European movement. So this the other side from for me it's a benefit in many ways. I can't manage to say this or this, but I try to focus in cultural issue. So it's not like I was here for 10 or 2 weeks before in Germany, but I express it's not like to visit for a conference or for a workshop to stay and live with people. So that way you get another culture, to get into their daily life, to go into even their home and how they living into family. And this is the most important also for us, to broken down stereotypes about European and especially German society too, because we have a perception too. I mean, this the cultural issue is very important, because we need this cultural dialogue, because people, they didn't dialogue whatever into society or between society. So it's very important, and also so lucky having my internship with Fairtrade International, because it's like international organization. I have colleagues from over the world, so all the time passionate discussion and dialogue and exchange, and also having meeting that ensure it's my contact, whatever professional contact or friends. So I'm so happy doing that, and yeah, I hope that we continue in this field. I have meeting right now tomorrow, but I think it's added a lot. Even when I came back to Tunisia, it's very important to have internship in Germany for 3 months for as engineer, and in my experience, because all the time having this experience abroad, it's very important when you are looking for job in Tunisia too. So, yeah, I think it will be continue fine and great like this, like what I start.
Thank you very much to all of you. And, yeah. And we now have some time left for questions from the audience.
The first question is to you, madam. Before the revolution and after the revolution, I know by laws, like, Tunisian is one of the leading countries in all Arab world, and even in this side of Morocco. And that gives, like, the woman the rights, the woman rights, almost fully. That was in Ibn Ali, or the, what's his name, times before he, yeah, Ibn Ali. And thereafter comes the Muslims, or the Muslim Brothers Party. Did this laws change, and especially towards women? And then second question, and concerning like Tunisian, there is so many initiatives, and Tunisian since long time ago is one of the leading countries by producing leaders, leaderships, and especially with NGOs. Did this change, did this shift, and how is the transformation were for the males, the men in the same society before and after the revolution? Will the men, by the way, because we did see them in the TV screens, like they were within this kind of revolution before they put down Ben Ali. They clean the streets, they stand next to the woman. They say that they want the more for the woman right, and to be pro for the woman, to help the woman. Will anything happen actually, or were this like empty words from those men? I mean, the party is the male side. And for my homeland lady, hello. This quota what we have in Jordan, with this 6%, then come the stories with our lovely parliament. Did it reach the 15 or not? And the other question is like, woman quota. Is it still the 6%, or because they were making in 2007? I was there, and I met Siti and the others who was with the women organization in Amman, and they were aim before the election to reach 15% to 20% from the parliament, because we have 120 seats, and they want more than 6%. Did we reach this point? Will we ever reach this point? Hopefully.
Okay.
Okay, and the last for you, sorry. it will be short. I like your idea by refusing the quota. It's the school of French style of thinking. There's something not part in the other. To start with something, I mean, I do respect any woman and any male idea, but don't you think like having minimum, at least the quota, which is, let's say, like a number of representatives in a parliament, or like with those senates, if they have senates, I don't know, at least as a start, you know, a sparking thing that at least we have females, they can at least give a voice, and maybe they can do a lobby and start really the big deal and go further, instead of saying like we are against the quota from the beginning, and in any way in our Arab countries, nobody vote for a female. I mean, to be yeah, I mean, excuse me to be like straight. If you vote for a female, either she's your wife, your friend, your colleague, or someone you know. I'm from Jordan. I'm not from Los Angeles, so I know how the things goes. So,
okay.
I would like to hear your elaboration about it. Thanks.
Okay. So, Olfa, would you like to start?
Yeah. Okay, regarding your first question about the situation of women during Berani ruling and after revolution, so as I said, Tunisia is has like distinct situation as the leading country in the Arab country, and even sometimes compared to European country because of the personal code statute, that's the text of law ensure and protect women rights in Tunisia since 1959. For example, we have the right to abortion since 1965, and the polygamy is illegal. That's to show the situation in Tunisia, and we haven't like gap in salary, so women and men at work working the same job, so they have the same salary too. But regarding, because as I said, there is like political issue with Islamist and Ben Ali system, and it's somehow promote women rights just to have like a mirror that the system is like democracy and we prevent women rights because all European countries care about women rights more than whatever else. So it's like that the old former system work, not because they are really pro-women rights. I mean, and one thing, other thing that we did not never forget, and it's also like very common and known even in other society, that Tunisian women are very strong and powerful, not just right now, but from the history and from the local community of Tunisia, Berber. So it's the character of Tunisian women, sometimes it's special character, I mean, and really, it's very important to talk. I will talk till the morning about this issue, but I will keep it shortly. After the revolution, I mean, the bad thing also during Ben Ali system, this issue with headscarf and discrimination women, they want to establish one model of society in Tunisia. That's not the case. We are from the beginning like multicultural and society of diversity. We respect everything, tolerant and open. So it's like filled and like oppression for women who have headscarf. Even after the revolution, when they came to public square, even the Tunisian society themselves, they didn't accept this, and they saw like little bit something strange. Why? Because they all the time in the media and the public work, whatever, they try to just Tunisian women and recognize as like only without headscarf, for example, especially for tourism, because this economic system in Tunisia based in tourism. So they all the time want to show to the European countries, especially that they are more open and they are like women in Tunisia, like an European. And this is was the worst thing happening since that. After the revolution, the situation a little bit inverted, but not somehow the bad way. I mean, there are Islamists in the government right now after the election of 23rd October, and women there, especially secular women, they are afraid to lose those all rights, and all the time there is demonstration, manifestation just to show up, we are here and we can't go there all the time, we continue going further, not the inverse. But sometimes when we talk about Islamist party, they talk about religion interpretation, and Nahda party, some of them, they interpret human rights by their way. I mean, for example, to propose complementarity in case of equality in the new constitution, it was a big deal and big issue, whatever, in the media or for politicians or for civil society, and more especially for women movement in Tunisia. And all people stand up against this, especially men. All the time in Tunisia, men were pro-women rights and they like kind of support. I saw that in my family first, but also in the society. And this is a good thing also too, but we need more equality and we need all the time more because we are not satisfied with this. I mean, even they interpret by another way the human rights and yeah, sometimes last time, I mean, it's happened when we are like leading demonstration to promote women's rights and the SIDA for young people, like an Islamist one came to me and then, okay, whatever, in Islam we respect women and they are free, but with limits, and they have to respect our cultural and Arab-Muslim identity. So the question, what is it, our culture, and what does it mean, Arab-Muslim identity? It means for me, it's to be independent, to travel freely, to do what I want, but it's not the same meaning for other. And this is maybe the big issue right now in Tunisia, so we have to say everything with a clear manner, to not interpret it by the bad way. So this is after the revolution. The other question concerning men, I think I did it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Hala, I think the question was about the progress concerning the quota of women in parliament and whether any progress has been reached.
Unfortunately, till now we didn't gain better conditions regarding quotas for women in the parliament. But hopefully, by decreasing the gap between men and women in the electorate rates, hopefully, and the women now are aware about their rights, their needs, so the future we will have maybe better conditions in all of social life, it's not only politics. So hopefully in the future.
Okay, so speaking about the quota, actually when you were asking your question, you said representative and lobbying. How could a woman who was just put there, who is not even anxious, I mean, aware about her role, be representative and think of lobbying? Because that's how things work. I don't think that things should be that way. Well, it's still my point of view. I mean, there are a lot of people in Algeria, but what I hate about the point is just in Algeria, they're doing this just to show the people that Algeria, we have democracy in Algeria, which is totally not true. It's just another big lie. So democracy, to establish democracy, we need to struggle more, and people need to be aware of their rights and their duties. And then we can speak about quota then. I'm not against the principle, but I'm against of the way the government or the people there are using this. That's my problem, actually, with the issue.
Yeah, I have a question. I wonder how men react to these many highly qualified women. Will there not be a problem? Will they ever marry such a highly qualified woman? Or how will this be? Can this be solved?
Actually, it is a problem. but how do men react? Actually, in the society, in my society, let's say, being a man, it's already a power. So this is how they see things. Whatever you do, you're just a woman. That's how they react. But the other problem is for qualified women, it's very hard to find really a real partner. And we have this percentage of women, unmarried women who is really increasing, because now women focus more on their studies and not in getting married. Actually, it is an actual debate, and people are still thinking of it, but I think women are fine. So I'm happy with it. I don't have to to get worried because of the men reaction. But speaking about the personal level, I think my father is proud of what I've done, and I think a lot of fathers are. And I think a lot of men dream to have powerful girls, I mean, as daughters. So I think things are quite good.
Yeah, it is a problem. As much as you have and gain experiences and education, it will be most difficult to find the right partner, because men all over the world, I don't think it's only in our societies, all over the world, they are not searching for a partner. They are searching for a second person to share life with. So hopefully, by struggling and enhancing on our rights, the gap will be decreasing, and it's a partnership between men and women. It's not a war that we are going in. So hope.
Yeah, actually, in Tunisia, the situation is not quite different somehow, especially when we are talking about partnership and marriage. So a man in general wants somehow, whatever he's well-educated, but he is like a woman, less education and less intelligent for him, just to show himself. But also in the same time, we have in Tunisia like this men who all the time proud of Tunisian women. So whatever happened, an access or a Tunisian woman achieve something, even in social media, so we are sharing this, or we are proud of Tunisian women. So even I talk with my friend all the time, when a woman achieves something, they really related it to national and to feeling about their country, and then somehow proud of. But still, when it came to have this relation and partnership, so all the time, most of them looking to be the leading partner, I mean, and afraid of women high qualified, because she's liberal, she's more freedom, she's not accept everything, so we'll discuss everything. So they are a little bit afraid from this side. But in the same time, still their dream, I mean, the dream of the other person, I mean, they want to have like well-educated and nice and very powerful men, I mean, a woman, I mean, into society. Yeah, somehow it's on contradiction, but we have all of this kind in Tunisia, so...
Yeah, I think even in Germany, statistics show that it is very rare for men to have a wife who is socially, educationally, and professionally above the partner. But the other issue would be like willingness to share household tasks and raising children and so on. That would be another issue then again. There was another question.
Thank you. I'd just like to go back to the idea of the role models, the question of the role models. When you go back to ancient times, the founder of Carthage, Elisa, I take that as a compliment to the Lebanese, since she was Phoenician. And if you go that far back, maybe you want to go less far back. Would not the wife of the prophet, Khadija, be a role model? She was an independent businesswoman.
Actually, it's Elisa came refugee from Lebanon to Tunisia, and Tunisia opened her hand, like always, for all people and for all kind of culture and civilization. Right. We are always like open country for all people. Then, actually, your point you mentioned, it's very important. And also when we discuss about women works, because all the time related, also as we are a Muslim society, some people interpret somehow incorrectly the Quran and the Hadith. So say, okay, woman should stay at home and we should not get into contact and work in the same place with men and so on. And this is right radical and radical position too. And they forget about the woman of the Prophet and woman and daughter of the companions of Prophet were not only Khadija on leading in business, but also I can have the first, political decision was taken by women in the area of the founding of Islam, Muslim society that time, and also the daughter of one campaigns as our prophet, and the wife of the other one, it was responsible for the souk, that the place to shop, the market, yeah, and it was like very only for men, and it was responsible for like in the degree of Minister of Economy or Industry right now, and the first school was established by women. The woman was in war, just a nurse and like medical staff, and they all the time forget about this, all the time forget about women. They were scientific, they were everywhere, and also, I mean, it's not related to Islam, but it's related to ignorance in their minds. And all the time when we talk with Islamists, so you have to show those story to try to convince them that you are wrong about women's role into society. And the history improved that when they reduce the women's role and participation in society, we are not while developed society, and when we try to open the space to women, we are trying to improve ourselves and trying to improve the situation into society, and this is important.
Also, I'd like to mention Sayyida Aisha. We took our religion from a lady. She's the lady who told us all the hadith from Prophet Muhammad, and they forgot about this. It's actually the problem is the manhood being. It's not the religious. It's not only Islam. It's any religion. This is the problem.
Okay. I may say something very different, but as a doctor, I would say the hardest thing that a human being can handle is the pain while delivering a baby, the birth. And a woman can do so. So it's just amazing how a woman can handle the pain just to give birth and life to a human being. So I think this is obvious how that woman can handle any situation and could do a lot.
If there are no more questions, then I would like to thank you all very much for coming, for listening to these women's stories and for asking questions. Thank you. Have a good evening.